Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 4th of December, and I'm recording at 9:30 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time in London. Now, it's been all about China, really, in the last 3 weeks. I hope you have some investments in China. But what happened here today? Well, the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index was very firm, up 1.72%. But the Shanghai Composite Index, which has really been leading this rally all the way, surged here and was up nearly 120 points, and that was 4.31%. So looking overextended here in the short term, for sure, but overextended only in the short term, in my opinion. Now, obviously, it's been a one-way momentum move because so many people were bearish of China previously. Remember, people were talking about a crash, and a lot of people had some, a lot of Westerners, U.S. hedge funds had some very big aggressive shorts in China and had been doing fairly well, apparently, but not recently, that's for sure. So what has been among the factors? Well, you know, we had an interest rate cut not long ago, so the government is behind this recovery in the stock market, and investors are seeing a softer property market, which has certainly curbed that speculation. And it may turn out to be more than just a softening property market, but equities, again, they've been very, very cheap. And investors were previously reluctant to touch the Chinese equities, but are now roaring back in. Well, it's feast or famine, isn't it? We've certainly seen this sort of action before. And I think that China really is going to vie with India for top gains this year. The Chinese government might want to be vying with India for top honors this year, in which case they'll probably win. If we look at the China Shanghai Composite Index, which is the one I mainly quote to you, it is currently up 34.82% this year. And that compares with 35.45% for the S&P BSE Sensex Index, that again I often quote. One of the big messages from Fuller Tracy Money this year is you really do want to be long in China, and you want to be long in India. And the India case has been stronger for longer during this year, since Narendra Modi was elected prime minister. But China is coming on in a big way, and from a very cheap base overall. And the other one, to complete the trio here that we really like in this Asia-Pacific region, is Japan. It's got that soft currency, so that needs to be hedged, currently at 119.77 against the U.S. dollar. But Japan is continuing to move higher in here. But in U.S. dollar terms, it is still slightly down on the year. So I like all three, but India is certainly my long-term favorite. I think China is superb for the pick it up on a pullback for the short to intermediate term. I certainly think this is a cyclical bull market for China, and Japan is probably going to see the cyclical bull market in here that I've often talked about over the last couple of years, and it may well be a secular bull market, given that it had been a secular bear market for such a very, very long time. Okay, what else has happened? The other Asian markets were mostly steady. Asia Pacific markets, I should say. Australia getting another rally in here today of 0.88%. That has been an underperformer here recently. And let's see, not many downers. Malaysia was down 0.75 percentage point today. New Zealand down just over 1/10 of a percentage. Percentage point. Okay, looking at the European markets, well, this was strange here, but they've all closed sharply lower in here today, and down. Well, Italy getting the biggest percentage decline, down 2.77%. But German DAX hit a new high early this morning, new recovery high, I should say, early this morning. Broke up above that psychological 10,000 level, but then flopped back and down 1.2%. And the Euro Stoxx 50 down 1.74%. The UK down just over 0.5 percentage point. So what was the story here? Well, the European markets had been firm on the hope and expectation of quantitative easing. Now, that is very much what Mario Draghi has wanted. But I've mentioned previously, and I've written about this, that he's in a battle royal here with German monetary officials who do not want the quantitative easing. And I saw most of Mario Draghi's press conference after a ECB meeting here today. And it was somewhat tense. He's clearly under pressure. He's a tough guy and a very smart man. I have the highest respect, as you probably know. I've certainly said that before for Mario Draghi. But again, he's in the battle of his life here with the German officials. And Mario Draghi has won. Well, he won the previous round. He may not have won. Well, he probably came out slightly ahead in this round. There's a big meeting. I don't. I won't get all the terminology right on this, but I'll get the facts of it right. There's a meeting in January. Which will decide on the ECB's policies. In other words, the worst that could possibly happen, in my opinion, would be that they succeed in curbing the ECB's freedom to follow its mandate, or they try to change the ECB's mandate. And I think the Germans might well push for that. But Mario Draghi will obviously be resisting that. And if he wins, and he's won most of these tense battles so far, then he will be able to introduce the further QE fairly quickly in 2015, one hopes, and I certainly do, and it is certainly needed. But some people, I think, were a little bit surprised by some of the comments coming out of the a press session with Mario Draghi, and felt that I saw a couple of quotes that he was either waffling, or seemed uncertain, or was acting too slowly. Not at all. This guy's sharp as a tack, and he knows exactly what he wants to do. But he has obstacles that he has to deal with that are in front of him. I mean, my feeling. If they rein in Mario Draghi, well, then I think that will be worse for the European region. I think it may well see at least a partial breakup if that happens, or if Draghi decides to leave the ECB. There's no evidence of that at present, but I think that would be a disaster. And to say there are battles ahead here, not least right after Christmas and the New Year. So that's been a cloud over the European markets in here today, that we're hoping for more evidence that QE was actually going ahead. And then we're getting these bizarre, sad, if it weren't so sinister and dangerous, given the nuclear arsenal. I'm talking about Putin, of course. Just speeches that, well, they give you a good idea if you listen to any of them and read some of the excerpts of what an incompetent government we've got there. Russia, I've talked about it every day, just about, but because it's so important here, not least for Europe, so dangerous for Europe, not least the East Europeans. But Russia really is deteriorating. It's accelerated. The ruble closed here. I think it was just beyond the 54.5 rubles to the US dollar. I mean, it's just been a meltdown. That is a new closing low for the ruble. And also the stock market, or the US dollar version of the stock market, closed at a new closing low again for that as well in here today. And going on to the US, down very slightly on average, about a tenth of a percentage point. We saw more weakness elsewhere. Canada hurt. They're not helped by this weak oil price, but down 1.93%, and Brazil down 1.7%. Now, looking at the dollar, which was so strong yesterday, but that dollar index pulled back here a little bit today. I think the dollar is still slightly firmer against the Chinese renminbi, but the dollar index itself pulled back from that 99, beg your pardon, 89 level, and is trading here after hours at 88.642. So that's lower. The euro picked up a bit on the absence of QE, currently 1.2381, and sterling is just about unchanged, 1.5675. Australian dollar eased a little bit further. Once again, it's at 0.8384 against the US greenback. Indian rupee holding steady, fortunately. And those are the big ones. I mentioned the yen softness earlier on, and we'll see that go weaker still. Oak, which is very good for the Japanese exporters, obviously. Okay, what else is interesting here? Precious metals. Well, they were firmer earlier, but I've given up most of the gains. The palladium is at 798. Silver, 16.426. That's up 6 cents, but it was up at 1660 at the high here today. Similarly, platinum. Well, platinum's doing okay. It's up $10 to 1237 and change. But it was up at 1246 and change earlier on today. So it was up almost $20 at one stage. And the gold is at 1205.83, and that was up at 1213 and a half. So, they're mixed in here, but they're holding this ground here overall, and there have been those three big upward dynamics, as I have mentioned previously, which suggests to me that this is a bottoming process, but obviously plenty of people disagree. But technically, I think it has the sign. Lots of disagreement after a period of persistent weakness. That's the main factor, and a little bit of revulsion in terms of and a little bit of in terms of the sentiment towards gold, and a little bit of desperation in terms of some of the aggressive downside forecasts. And looking at the grains and beans, they're a little bit firmer in here today, and US copper, which has been very soft recently, but it's firmer today, almost up 4 cents to 291. And I just last but not least, don't want to forget crude oil. The WTI is at 66.75. That's down 63 cents. And the Brent, if I just bring it up on another screen, is Brent is at 69.49. So that's down 43 cents in here today. So still very soft here overall. And really, there's a comment. I'll try to post this, which is in the Telegraph, I think, yesterday, just saying that the Saudis were saying that, well, they weren't going to cut production unless Russia and the U.S. cut production. Well, lots of luck for that, because that's obviously not going to happen. But it also indicates, well, these are not allies in here. They're not friendly rivals either. They're hostile rivals here in terms of the oil price. And Saudis, looks like they're going to hang in there for a while longer, and everybody else will try to. Russians in the most vulnerable position of all. Meanwhile, the rest of the world that doesn't produce so much oil is benefiting from these low energy prices, and we can be thankful for that. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. Owen's away today, giving a speech somewhere in the Midwest, I think. We'll hear about it when he gets back on Monday, but he's away today and also tomorrow. All the best.